tonight is Karnika Seth. She's a cyber law expert. She joins me in the studio, as does Upendra Singh, software and IT expert. Simon Marks is a journalist. He's joining us live from the US. Before I come to you, Simon, I'd like to start with you right now. What exactly do we know of this attack? This has affected more than 90 countries, and the little information we have right now suggests that this could have been emanated from technology that was developed by the NSA in the US. Is that right?
Absolutely. That is what appears to have taken place here. I mean, it's very apparent that this was an extremely damaging, coordinated, widespread attack, as you know, on numerous sites around the world, particularly hitting and targeting the National Health Service in the UK, but it wasn't restricted in any sense to the UK or to that particular sector of the country's economy. Here in the United States, Federal Express, the big shipping company, was hit partly by this ransomware attack. Now, the US government, through the Department of Homeland Security, says that it is reaching out to countries around the world and offering what it describes as technical assistance and advice on how to overcome this ransomware attack. And it would seem that the United States is well positioned to do that, because it may well have been that the software that these hackers used in order to cripple, for example, the computer system of the National Health Service in Britain, was actually developed right here in the United States by the National Security Administration. We believe that the NSA, the National Security Agency rather, realized that there was a problem with Microsoft's software, and they realized that it was something that they could exploit and use, they hope, to America's espionage advantage. Later, the information that they had gathered and the digital tools that they had developed to exploit that deficiency within the Microsoft system was stolen by hackers. The United States suspects by hackers in Russia. And it was only after those digital tools were stolen that the US government then, it seems, reached out to Microsoft to make them aware of the deficiency in their Windows system. So the National Security Agency here appears to bear some potential responsibility for not having alerted Microsoft to the problem earlier, while America's spy masters were seeking to exploit the deficiency and learn what they could, we presume, from the computer systems of foreign powers that they were at the time trying to break into. So
Simon,
the U.S. government not confirming any of that, but that's what technology experts here believe.
Yes, all this information is fascinating, not just because the NSA perhaps could have been involved in not just developing the technology, but also the kind of impact it's had all over the world. I'm being told that Russia perhaps is one of the worst hit, and they're now officially claiming that no sensitive data has been lost, but that of course, we can only take their word for it. The fact that this happened at such a massive scale across Europe, in countries like Russia, in Britain, America, I believe, has not been really touched by it, although it might have emanated from there. Do we understand whether or not there have been arrests made or investigation on, apparently? Because we are also hearing a name called Shadow Brokers, a group of hackers who got their hands on their technology and then have gone on to claim that they've shared the technology openly with other hackers.
Well, look, they're certainly interested in trying to find out who these shadow brokers are. There is some skepticism here about the Russians' claims that Russia itself was targeted by this ransomware. Skepticism because the US government, of course, is suspicious that perhaps these digital tools that the NSA had developed were stolen by Russian hackers. So no arrests have been made, no official statements made about that. But the tools that the NSA developed are the kind of tools that the US government, for example, has reportedly used in its attempt to destabilize the military hardware systems of North Korea. As you know, North Korea keeps trying to test its nuclear capability, and
right.
many of their test missile firings and test launches go wrong. It's believed here that that could be because the United States has used these very deficiencies to try and break into North Korea's military hardware. So the United States potentially has considerable egg on its face, but also has been using these digital tools for a while in order to advance America's espionage interests around the world.
Right.
That puts the U.S. government now in a somewhat difficult position if those very tools were used in these attacks.
Simon, one more question before I turn to my panel in the studio. We are being told that this attack was somehow, I wouldn't say halted, but somehow debilitated or mitigated accidentally by a British researcher. And I don't want to make it sound trivial, but that would imply that we are at the mercy, really, of hackers who can play with our online data, and the only thing that can slow them down is the accidental hero here.
Right. Well, there's no question that technology experts on this side of the Atlantic say that all of this is the nightmare scenario playing itself out, and it has the potential to play itself out in an even broader, more dangerous way over time. The National Health Service in the UK particularly, it's believed by technology experts, had not upgraded much of its software. Microsoft, after the US government made the company aware of the problem, did create a patch to protect computer systems from this ransomware. But if you hadn't installed the patch, and it would seem that the National Health Service had not done that, then you're still susceptible to these kinds of attacks. Any industry, any company, any economic sector that is relying on older style technology, older style software that has not been upgraded and not been maintained, is at risk.
Right.
And it's very difficult, given how ubiquitous all of this technology is around the world now, to protect all of these systems.
A nightmare scenario indeed. Simon, try and stay with us if you can. It's been fantastic talking to you, getting the details of what's really happening here. Pawan Dugal, let me just turn to you very quickly. Simon, Simon Marks, very quickly, I know you have to go and we have limited time with you, so I'm just going to try and squeeze in a couple of questions to you right now. Another important question that nobody seems to be asking right now is whether or not anyone has actually paid the ransom. And if you go by reports coming in right now, it would seem that some companies, especially which are at a higher exposure risk than others, would have had no choice.
Well, there's no indication from here, certainly in the U.S., that any U.S. companies have paid any kind of ransom. But there was a big conversation going on over the last, 16, 17 hours since this started to unfold about the extent to which companies were going to have to pay the ransom in order to secure any information that may have been downloaded off their systems that the hackers were holding on to. Look, there's an issue here, of course, about personal responsibility. I mean, bear in mind that if you look back at last year's American presidential election, the Democratic Party here lost a treasure trove of information
right.
simply because one senior official responded to an email that looked like it came from Google, except it didn't come from Google, it came from hackers, and that then gave the hackers access to the Democratic Party's servers. But there's also governmental responsibility here. President Trump just a few days ago ordered government departments across the United States to start thinking about how to enhance their own particular cybersecurity, but that only takes care of the U.S. federal government. It doesn't take care of each of the individual 50 states,
right.
and certainly doesn't deal with the transnational issues that, of course, at some point have to be addressed.
Clearly. Thank you, Simon Marks, for getting us all these inputs from Washington, D.C. Great to speak to you again.